Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Getting Hammered. I am your host, Mary Catherine Hamm. I am here with my co-host, Vic Mattis of the Washington Free Beacon. We are your morning show for any hour. There's a bunch of news. We got to do Super Tuesday. We got to do State of the Union, which you guys have already heard, but we're going to vaguely talk about it. We got a lot of crime news. A lot. And then insanity at the Veterans Affairs Department. Actual insanity. But before we get to that, we have something much more gratifying, which is a new Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, I believe is what they officially go by now, but a new offering that has a sort of retro packaging, which I'm appreciating, and it is a Kentucky Fried Chizza? I want to tell the audience, I don't know the concept for this thing. I just am going to open my box and go with it.
Hello, Mary Catherine. I'm Vic Mattis, co-host of the Getting Hammered podcast. Yes, not only do we have, because this is a Friday special, not only is it a drink episode, it is a right. Drink and food episode. I don't know how often we've done food. This no. might be a first.
You know, people don't love for you to eat on mic.
Which is funny so because this is what we're doing. So in order
so
for
just
you to
prepare truly, for your
yes,
for this.
Yes, the noises. It's going to be like, you know, we had a pastor in our church, Monsignor Lazinski, and he would get the dry throat giving the talk, and you hear... Yeah.
Oh, no.
I can't do it
oh,
now.
No,
I can't do it.
Do it
now because my mouth is not dry. You're very lucky. But it was that mealy sound, and you're probably going to get a little bit of that. We're going to do our best. In fact, a little behind the scenes here, I actually ate. So it's not that I have a spit bucket like they do in the movies, but I'm not going to be eating my whole. Don't get nervous and don't start hitting the fast forward button just yet. I'm not going to be eating the entire meal on air.
I, on the other hand, might.
It depends on how good it is. So what we're talking about is something that Kentucky Fried Chicken has released. It's a special, so it's not something that's going to be permanently on the menu unless it becomes a real wild sensation. Okay. And it's called the Chizza.
All right.
Now, it's spelled C-H-I-Z-Z-A. So it is a blend of chicken and pizza.
Okay. I mean, I'm tracking.
Also known as chicken parm. Anyway, with a topping on top, like a pepperoni. And as you notice on the box, it doesn't say KFC.
No.
Which the first thing I ever wrote for the Weekly Standard back in 1996, it was about the new F word, and it was fried. And it was how Kentucky Fried Chicken was like, they can't say fried because it's bad. I'm glad to see them embrace it.
No, I love this. This is like the throwback dine-in Pizza Hut, which is what Pizza Hut should do to every place.
More of that.
So this has got the kernel on it. It's got the old font. I'm so here for it.
All right. Are we going to open it up on air
and
see what it looks
and
like?
Then we're going to find out what this is.
Okay.
Also, I like that it has, when you say chizza, it kind of makes you feel like you could eat it and it, whoa. Then I saw it. I was like, it kind of makes you feel like you could eat it and it would be a cheat on your diet.
Here it is, everybody.
It's a big cheat.
You can see it right here. I'll tell you the vibe I'm getting from the chizza. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you the vibe, Mary Catherine? The vibe is, oh my goodness, this is somebody working at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh my goodness, somebody just actually ordered the chizza for the first time. And that's us.
Okay.
And they it looks so uncertain. And like, they're not really sure what's happening.
Like it doesn't know what it's doing.
Right.
Okay.
You don't know what it's doing. Go ahead. Tell me your impressions.
To me, it looks like you go to a sort of medium fancy brunch place and you order chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
And it comes with giant hunks of chicken on it. It's chicken and waffles chicken with mozzarella and some pepperoni on top.
It does look like the
chicken. And actually, I'm giving them ideas. Next time they're going to throw some waffle under here and everyone will be happy.
Now, I just had a pepperoni on its own.
Okay.
And that tastes like a genuine pepper. I think they went next door to the Pizza Hut and brought it over. They said, hey, can we get some of your pepperoni and cheese? For our fried chicken.
Because I have to do this on camera. How does one eat this?
Well, this is the best part of camera. This is where you got to tune into our YouTube.
Now, is there... No, there's no filling. Okay, there's no filling.
No, it should be a pure chicken.
It's just chicken.
Oh, my goodness. Mine is falling apart. Look at this. Mine has come across... Look at the... Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'm going to try it.
Okay. Me too.
Actually, I'm going to talk while you try it, and then you're going to talk while I try. Because that's how an audio medium works. I don't know if you guys know that.
No, I could talk and eat at the same time.
I'm looking forward to this. It does look like that's going to be all my carbs for the month.
This is a great time for me to be wearing a suit, by the way.
All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not mad at it.
No, I'm not mad at it either. I'll tell you exactly what it is.
What?
It is the, I really hope I don't get any stains on the shirt. It is the original Burger King chicken parm sandwich. It tastes exactly like a chicken. They went, in fact, they took a DeLorean, went back
Burger
in time.
Burger King had a chicken parm?
Yes, and it was excellent. They had regular chicken sandwich with mayo and shredded lettuce, mm-hmm. but they also had a chicken parm sandwich, which is melted, you know, whatever cheese.
Now, was that a New Jersey-specific offering?
I assume if it's in New Jersey, it's everywhere because it's that popular. I'm going to take one more bite about of this Mary Catherine, and then
I've taken about four already.
Actually, she's done. If you're not watching, she's inhaled this thing. You know, we were expecting to make fun of this, man.
Look,
I'm going to have to.
I grew up with two brothers.
Yeah.
This is you eat fast or you do not eat.
Look at this.
Because they're going to take the rest of my chizza. Yeah. They're going to cheat me out of my chizza.
You know what I say, Mary Catherine? Eat fast or don't eat at all. That's what I say. Okay.
I like it.
I do too. Do not tell us, Jennifer, what the calorie count, because this looks like a meal for more than one person in a box.
Yeah, I live without guilt. I'm fine.
This is not what I was going to put that. I don't even want to touch my shirt.
It can be
not
as
even,
many.
I can't touch anything.
It can be as many calories as it wants.
Okay.
I'm not trying to make this pizza be anything other than itself.
Supposedly, now we had to use a delivery service because to bring it to the studio, mm-hmm. it was $15. So I know there was something in the news today. It was on Fox about the outrageousness of Five Guys and how it was like $25 for a burger with soda mm-hmm. and fries.
Yeah, I mean, that's a more high-end burger. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are going to get up to $20 on that.
But this is up there in terms of the price. The only thing that they didn't mention in the outrageous segment is that it is a double patty. I mean, it is a large meal. Mm. You may not want to have another meal that day, you know, but.
Yeah, that's a full, mm-hmm. like, post-marathon meal. That's what that is. Look, for $15, this is quite a bit of chicken.
It is a lot of chicken. And
from a fast food joint, right? Obviously, if you're
buying
a chicken at the store, it's going to cost you less.
They should give you the option of the extra crispy. That's what in my mind, I pictured Kentucky Fried Chicken changed their formula sometime, I believe, in the 90s.
How dare they?
You walk into Kentucky Fried Chicken, I'm assuming it's going to be unhealthy. It's mm-hmm. fried chicken. So the idea that they were trying to make it healthier, I think, was a mistake. But
it also wasn't healthier.
No.
just so you know,
guys.
When McDonald's switched from real fat to trans fat, from beef tallow to nonsense sunflower oil, whatever it is, not healthier.
Anyway. I never thought I'd be having fried chicken at a pepperoni on top.
I mean, I enjoyed that. It's a little bit of heat.
Oh, you're done. Good.
I ate a whole piece of that. So, I'm going to eat more later.
Jennifer and Mary Catherine, people listening to this are like, this is so disgusting. The noise is because I'm trying to talk with my mouth full.
I can cover for you because I ate so quickly.
I thought we were just going to have this in some soda. But instead they said, no, you come up with a cocktail. What would you come up with a pairing?
A cocktail that matches this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought very carefully about this, and here I have it for you now.
Okay, I'm ready. What, right. pray tell, goes with a chizza?
Well, first of all, gotta have your cocktail shaker. Mm-hmm. This is what you would technically call a cobbler, right? The one with the glass with the rubber seal, and you do that's like, I think that's called a Boston shaker.
Okay.
But this is very convenient.
I didn't
know
there was a difference.
This is very convenient. Know your barware. Mm-hmm. It has a built-in strainer, so it's very convenient. I have some ice in here already. Okay. Something that could match the ridiculousness of the chizza. And there's only one thing in the drinks world as ridiculous as that. And Mary Catherine, I'm mm-hmm. happy to share with you today my homemade Long Island iced tea.
Gosh.
That's right. Here it is. Oh, look at that. Jennifer looks scared. I'm going to pour it in here now. And then I'm going to tell you what... What's in it? It was brewing overnight.
Woo!
So is the chizza, by the way.
This is appropriate.
But tomorrow I'm going to say the same thing.
This is appropriate, by the way, for a podcast that's coming out the day after the State of the Union.
Yeah,
because
right.
I believe there are many a drinking game
yes.
Established for the State of the Union.
Yeah.
And tonight there may be even more interesting ones for the Joe Biden specific State of
correct.
The Union. It'd be interesting to see what kind of state that is delivered in. And so this drink could
that
be
is.
Your State of the Union drink.
Are you ready to know what's in it? First
yes.
of all, I got to give it. There are cocktails that I'm a purist about, and you got to stir them like a martini, for example, Manhattans, old fashions, fine. But there's certain cocktails you do require shaking, and the Long Island iced tea is one of them. Here we go.
That's a pleasing sound. People like that.
Okay, here we
go. I like that. That is like ASMR. That's, people want to hear that.
Okay. So you're probably wondering, what is, and people are like, what is in a Long Island iced tea? It's easier to say what's not in a Long Island iced tea.
I was going to say, also because they've only been blitzed when they've ordered one, ever.
Yes, you know, it's a popular drink in college, and you're not, when you're in college, you're not exactly drinking for nuance.
Mm-mm.
So this is what it has. And this is a J.M. Hirsch recipe, and J.M. Hirsch is very refined. So, you know, he wanted to make it less insane, and nevertheless, this has 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of tequila, 1 ounce of gin, 1 ounce of white rum, 1/2 ounce of Grand Marnier.
Wow.
Or you can substitute triple sec because it's just like a Cosmo triple sec and Grand Marnier, right? It's fine. Or margarita, whatever. 1/2 ounce of my homemade simple syrup. Very easy to make. It's just equal parts granulated sugar and water. You boil it. It's clear. Wonderful. Makes so many drinks. And 1/2 ounce of lemon juice. So let me pour this in.
Well, I'm glad we got that garnish in before. By the way, I'm glad we're going to be talking about some sensitive issues on the show today while we're drinking Long Island iced tea.
Look at that.
And okay.
The most important element of Long Island iced tea is you got to have some Coke.
And I love that you have brought fully leaded Coca-Cola.
Absolutely. Full deal, not Diet Coke. Come on. We've gone down this path
already.
The cheats. There's no turning back for us now or my diabetes. There you go. Let's have, because you need the, it's very important that, could you imagine what this tastes like now without the Coke?
Yeah.
You need the carbonation.
The gin is what throws me. Like the rest of them all together, you're like, okay, vodka's sort of neutral. We got some rum. We got a fruit flavored something. Gin scary on top of it. I'm a college student, but I'm also a grandma in Britain.
Cheers, Mary Catherine. Cheers. Happy Friday, listeners.
Woo, baby. That smells like college.
Yeah, it definitely smells like college. I feel like I'm back at the tombs. Wow.
Good Lord.
Yeah. You can taste everything.
Wow.
You can taste everything.
Yeah, you know there's those alcoholic drinks that you have in college where people are like, you can't even taste the alcohol. This is not that. This is not that.
It's the real deal. I haven't had this in a long time. And you know what? This is exactly how it tasted like.
You know what? I love that you put some real craftsmanship into the Long Island iced tea to pair with our chizza.
With our chizza. And I have a feeling that if we actually finished both the Long Island iced tea and the chizza, something terrible would happen to us. I'm not sure. Yeah. You know what? You don't even, it's not, you can't even tell if it's hitting you because, you know, the Coke. The Coke masks.
I'm quite certain it does not mask it.
It is. Really quickly, before we get into the news, there is some discussion over, of course, who invented who and where was the Long Island iced tea invented.
I'd love to hear this.
There's a dispute. Mm-hmm. It's unclear.
Because everyone was blitzed.
Yes. Why wouldn't you be making this? Some people have argued that it was invented in the 1920s in Tennessee. There's a Long Island in Tennessee.
Okay.
It was a prohibition drink.
Okay.
So it's a mixture of like lemon and lime flavors and cola and some other spirits. I'm of the Long Island, New York side.
School of thought.
School of thought. Thank you. And that is early 1970s.
Okay.
And it was a competition.
This,
a contest. It was a contest. And one fella was the one who had come up with this.
This drink has a 70s vibe.
Yeah.
There's something sort of desperate about it.
You know, I do have, you know, and J.M. Hirsch, I've reviewed his book, Pour Me Another, and he has many books about like freezer cocktails. But the one thing I disagree with him on here is he dismissively calls this the trash can of cocktails. Okay, maybe he's right.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He might be right. He might be right. Is there like a,
there's a what? A hint of something?
There's so many things.
Well, don't worry. There's more in the cocktail shaker because I know you're concerned that you're not going to have enough to get you through this
episode.
It's the rum.
That's what it is.
Yes. Now, I used a gold tequila, so it's really classy stuff today. It's Clase Azul, which was a gift from a Subbeacon listener. I'm supposed to use just regular cheap tequila blanco. I don't have that in my house.
I don't own that.
Somebody in their right mind would. But, okay. Enjoy. And here we go.
Yeah, now you guys can make your own fancy Long Island iced tea to have with your chicken parm pizza.
Oh my gosh. This may be the most insane thing we've ever done.
It's worth a try.
Yes.
I don't know, I kind of enjoyed it.
Oh, I like how they gave us this, by the way, the spork Kentucky Fried Chicken gave us. I'm not sure why, but maybe you could sort of dig into the chicken.
I guess you'd eat it with that. That would be difficult. That thing would break on that piece.
Oh, look at this. I think it's time for the news while I'm eating.
It's time for the news. Okay. Oh, real quick, I should say the tequila and the rum are taking me back to my tropical wedding 4 years ago today. So happy anniversary to Steve, who's in the behind the scenes and in the mini stories of this podcast. We were married in Aruba days before the pandemic began. Real fortuitous wedding date.
No, you went right to the edge.
March 7th, 2020. Mm-hmm. We flew back on Wednesday of that week, and our children were out of school by Friday. So Steve went from bachelorhood to extremely married with two children very quickly.
It was a steep learning curve.
It really was. It was like, we always say it was like boot camp of marriage, because we were in the house together, all of us, 24 hours a day. For at least the first month. We were pretty chill on COVID, but it took about a month for us to figure out what we could and could not do. So
memorable.
Wild ride. I should write a bottle episode of a sitcom about that experience.
Definitely.
All right. Now, if you were, say, to drink three of these, Vic, do you think you would come up with the theory of the Biden case that Joe Scarborough presents?
Oh.
On MSNBC.
What case is that?
Look, by the way, I have worked with Joe. I enjoy being on Morning Joe. I have a good time.
Smart guy.
Look, I disagree most of the time. I would say that I vehemently disagree with this take. So let's play it and see what's going on.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now. He's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been. Intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not. Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
Can you handle the truth, Vic?
What was the reaction of the rest of that panel? Were they silent in shock or silent in awe?
I don't know who else is sitting there, but Willie Geist is like,
I think Joe chose his words very carefully. He's talking about analytic and intellectual development. And generally over time, we like to think that we do get better. He left out the words physical and mental.
Yeah, I just... You know? I do not buy this. I think we can all, there is an attempt to tell us, now he may believe this. I guess he has contact with Biden. I don't currently. Makes it sound like I had a bunch of contact with Biden in the past. But I do think there's an attempt to tell us that what we're seeing with our eyeballs is not real.
Yeah.
And I think that what we're seeing with our eyes is real.
I am sure that he does have these moments of clarity, if
of
you
course,
want to use that phrase, where he's on. Like Robert De Niro in Awakenings, you know, and then other times he's not. And we just happen to see both. Now, I'm really interested. Our listeners are probably screaming at us because of how amazing he did on the State of the Union.
I mean,
or perhaps not.
That might be true. Rasputin might have done him up properly.
That's right.
And he goes out there on the stage.
Dr. Nick, you know, who's Elvis's doctor, makes the special concoction. And the thing
I
want to
several
add,
versions of that character
throughout history. Yeah. There has been Dr. Robert in the Beatles' Revolver. The interesting thing is the bar is pretty low. So, again, we shouldn't really be talking about the State of the Union. Yeah. But going into this, at least, and you'll know better than us, but I'm assuming he did fine because he just had to stand there, albeit it was late. It was 9 o'clock, which is very late, but maybe that's the point to show he can stay up at 9 o'clock till 10 or something.
Just like he stayed up for that late night show that he taped it for.
That's right. Seth Meyers, they tape it whenever you saw it. But he just has to read the teleprompter.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll be curious to see, and we'll know more about this on the next Getting Hammered, about various disruptions, if any.
Can I say, just as a, it's my pet peeve, so I'm going to get to it now. And we don't know, but it has not been previewed that the Biden administration has invited any, say, war widows to the State of the Union, any of the families of those who passed away in the strike on Jordan, where three National Guards people lost their lives. I mean, it was a man and two women, from Georgia. Might be smart to invite them. Maybe it'll happen. None of the 13 Marines' families that passed away were murdered in Afghanistan during that chaotic withdrawal, which has always bugged me that he didn't mention that in the State of the Union directly after that.
It's a bad memory.
It's terrible. And then we have Lincoln Riley, who, of course, some have wondered whether he would bring her up. And the truth is, he's not going to bring up anybody who's overly politically inconvenient for him. It does not matter how tragic the circumstances or the story, even if they are actual troops of the United States of America.
The Washington Free Beacon reported exclusively at the time, but now everybody else knows, that Lincoln Riley's parents will be the guests of Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. But those other guests don't get the same shout out.
No.
Biden's not going to be like, oh, and I see who's over there.
No, he'd be smart to do it.
Yeah.
Let me just, for a second, play a clip from CNN of Christy Shamblin. She is the mother-in-law of one of the Marines lost in that attack. How many years ago is it now?
Goodness, it was 2021, the summer of 2021, was it?
2021. And what she had to say on CNN.
You have been critical of how President Biden has talked about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Tomorrow, he's going to be addressing a lot of global issues, probably in his State of the Union address. What do you want to hear from him about the 2 years ago, what happened to your daughter-in-law?
I want to hear how he's going to strengthen our armed forces and support them and answer our questions and lead to a thorough investigation like they promised, so that we can move forward in a positive way and make it better.
President Biden, he's often called the consoler-in-chief. He does talk to families who have lost loved ones because of his own experiences. Have you experienced that from him as you've been coping with the death of Nicole?
No.
Have you spoken to him?
No, he has not reached out to our family. We've actually reached out to the White House and have never heard back. We asked to meet with them, to kind of understand where their thinking was in calling this a success, and we've not received a response. It's been months. No, that's not been our experience at all.
Her daughter-in-law, by the way, was Sergeant Nicole Gee, or G, I don't know exactly. I'm not sure which way you say it. She was 23. I remember looking at photos of her after that attack, and she was like, she looked like a fun chick and a gym girly, and she was like doing her push-ups and taking her gym selfies, and it's just a terrible, terrible thing. This, the fact that he has not been in touch with them, even after they have reached out to him, is, and I don't use this kind of language very often, unforgivable.
Because
it's disgraceful.
Because you know they're going to reach out to her now.
Wolf.
And they'll be like, hey, I'm sorry.
I've been meaning to call you.
I accidentally erased the message.
I just would like to retire the idea that he's Mr. Empathy.
Who's calling him consoler-in-chief?
No. This is the view he has of himself.
Yes.
This is the view he has of himself, and often the view he has of himself makes it into the media environment. And the fact is that he's not been great at this. He's often been the opposite of empathetic. He's often brought his own stuff to the table and therefore disrespected the people who are going through something right now.
Right.
He's compared combat deaths to his own son's death, which are different. He does not have a good record on this. And so we're painting this picture of him that's not accurate. And that is part of the inaccuracy. And it is astounding that they have not gotten a call to this woman.
You would think that somebody might lose their job over this because Biden would be like, I can't believe, nobody told me that she called. And then that person would take the fall, because right now it's him.
No one ever gets fired.
Yeah.
So no one got fired over Afghanistan itself.
That's right. Lloyd Austin did not.
I'm done with the empathizer in chief.
Yeah.
All right.
The healthy commander in chief, that was a Saturday Night Live opening from this past weekend.
Oh, was it?
Yes, where a bunch of people were able to give witness to including people who play who are playing Karine Jean-Pierre and members of Congress and other celebrities, assuring America that, and Dana Bash, somebody playing Dana Bash, assuring her and audiences that you might not see it, but he does amazing things. He's extremely physical and he's healthy and he's sharp and he's energetic. And that was a joke.
That, I mean, it is a joke, right?
Yeah.
Shall we talk about Super Tuesday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So both Biden and Trump on the ballot all over the U.S. for Super Tuesday, the giant delegate-rich day in this terrible fait accompli.
A big win.
That we were involved in. Yep. You know, both of them take home so very many delegates. Nikki Haley won Vermont.
She did. And the District of Columbia.
And she won D.C. Look, it matters that she's standing at the end, right? I continue to think that DeSantis would have been a better chance to marry these two parts of the party than Nikki Haley, who I like. But his campaign did not do the thing that got them to here. And Nikki Haley's performance and campaign did the thing that got them to here.
She outlasted DeSantis.
She did. She did. She has now withdrawn or suspended her campaign.
Yes.
She still has some delegates. Notable.
Right.
You don't lose them when you suspend, right? You take that.
I think you keep them until the convention, and then they
So
cross over.
But here we go. We're on our way to the matchup, the only matchup we're allowed to have forevermore. Amen. I'm sorry,
say,
America.
It's just over.
This is it.
And over again.
It's crown on day election.
I do want to congratulate Jason Palmer.
Oh, yes. Huge.
Jason Palmer, the Baltimore businessman who won American Samoa. They had a caucus in American Samoa, and he defeated Joe Biden. And I'm pretty sure Jason Palmer never went to American Samoa. He did a lot of his stuff on Zoom, but he had apparently an appealing message. And the other thing is, perhaps the Samoans are looking at the ballot list and thinking, I just don't want to, the Democrats for the caucus are thinking, I don't want Joe Biden. I'll pick whoever else. And they chose Jason Palmer over Marianne Williams. I don't know if she was on the ballot, but he defeated Biden 51-40. So there were 91 ballots cast, and he won 51-40. And
what happened on the Republican side? Can we get American Samoa?
Yeah,
pick?
I'm assuming yes. No,
I'm assuming
it went to Trump.
Yeah.
But congratulations! People are saying it's a one-off, but I bet you he might take a Guam.
Could be.
Good chance.
Could be.
That's interesting.
So Trump having obviously a dominating performance.
Yeah.
With that being said, it's this thing where he's simultaneously very strong and somewhat weak, right?
Yeah.
Because he is sweeping all these states. So he's getting all these delegates. But there is a significant protest vote.
Definitely.
And it's significant in places like, not to get too myopic about where I live, but Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
Which is like all these suburban counties that used to be GOP in, or at least stronger than they are. Loudoun is a perfect example. And there's some people who say, because they see the exit polls and, you know, these the Nikki Haley voters, of course, rate Biden's performance better than Trump supporters do.
Sure.
Okay. So then people say, they're all Democrats. It's all like a fake thing because in Virginia, you do not have an affiliation. You go in there and you choose which side you're voting on. Look, some of that is true. I'm sure Democrats were coming out to pick Nikki Haley because who cares on the other side? And there's not really a competitive race there.
Yeah.
However, some of those people are Democrats because Trump made them into Democrats.
Yeah.
Right?
He drove them to the
other
side.
So they're willing to come back for a Nikki Haley.
Right.
They're willing to come back for a Glenn Youngkin, but they're not willing to come back for a Trump.
Do you think Nikki Haley eventually will have to bend the knee and then throw her support in?
Notably, she has not yet.
She has not. She's holding out. Maybe she'll have a conversation and they'll have some discussion about concessions. People are suggesting there might be a possibility that she could be a VP. That would be wild. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's tough. It got pretty chippy out there.
It
right?
did. And honestly, I don't know who would want to be Trump's vice president, considering how Mike Pence was thrown under the bus.
Good luck with your legal bills.
January 6th.
And also the potential lynching.
Yeah, the hanging.
It's bad.
It is.
Bad. Also, it is, and this is like the tricky part about running against Trump, is that the people you are appealing to are the exact type of people who do not want to see you join a Trump ticket. Because they're taking you at your word that you think this is very bad for the country.
It is. And this is where everyone is now up in arms, because people like Joni Ernst, a senator from Iowa, Mitch McConnell, our Senate minority leader, and they've had obviously big fights and disagreements, and it's gotten very nasty between some of them. Obviously, the stuff that Trump said about Mitch McConnell, referring to his wife as Coco Chow, Elaine Chow, is I don't know where the Coco comes from.
You know what? I forget some of these.
And you want to forget. You want to forget it. But now they're all in. And even Glenn Youngkin said that, you know, Trump is the nominee. I support the nominee. Therefore, I support Trump. Yeah. So they're all in it now because, you know, for them, promise is a promise. And at the end of the day, it's either Trump or Biden. So take your pick. And Trump has to, and he's done a little bit of this now by saying, you know, the real enemy here is Joe Biden. That is who we must all defeat.
Right.
But I don't know how hard he is going after those Nikki Haley supporters at moment, because he was pretty mean while Nikki Haley was making her announcement that she is suspending her campaign, and he was like, she got trounced, you know.
Yeah.
And that was,
I mean, you know how he is. Like, until she bends the knee, there will be no kind word for Nikki Haley. Biden is also simultaneously strong and weak. This is NPR reporting. Hundreds of thousands of voters across the country cast their ballots for no candidate in Democratic primaries on Super Tuesday, instead selecting versions of uncommitted as a movement opposing President Biden's handling of Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza as the movement grows across the country. This came right after Michigan, where uncommitted garnered over 100,000 votes. That's a state where there is a large concentration of Arab American and Muslim votes.
Yep.
However, a lot of those votes didn't come out of those counties.
Right.
They came out of other counties.
Right.
Okay. So I don't think this is a specific to a demographic or even this movement necessarily.
Right.
I think there's just a lot of discontent, as there is on the other side.
Right.
Or at least robust discontent with who the nominee is going to be.
Right.
And I think we have a real market failure here of there's a lot of voters who would like to see not either one of these people, and the parties are like, nah. You get this.
Well, yeah, it's one of the late night talk show hosts actually made a joke about how he said that. Most people say they don't want either candidate, but there are clearly millions of you who are lying. You know, because obviously, you know, they just nominated. They're on the way to, they've made them the presumptive nominees of both parties, Trump and Biden. So clearly there are people who prefer it. And you look at the polls, and Nikki Haley brought it up prior to her losing, that, you know, her matchup against Joe Biden easily, hands down, defeats Joe Biden. You put Trump against Biden, 1-3 point lead, maybe 4 in a couple of cases, but it's very close. And people clearly would prefer Trump, despite the fact that it'll be a very close election.
You know, if it was held today, I truly think Trump would win today.
Yes.
Right?
I think so. Yes.
If you look at
all the indicators,
The only thing that, and this is important, again, it's very hard to read, because 2022 shows us that Democrats are extremely good at motivating unenthusiastic voters.
Yeah.
Now, some of that is because they have pretty lax rules in various places about how you get those ballots and how you harvest them. And one of the things that I worry about, if you wish Donald Trump to win, he needs to stop telling voters he doesn't need or want their votes.
Yeah.
Whether they're Nikki Haley voters, whether they are mail-in voters.
Yeah, I was going to say being down on the mail-in votes.
Absentee or early voting, all these things that happen where, by the way, I don't know, in a special election in New York, you might win the election before the election day.
That's happened.
Which is what happened in New York 3.
Yeah.
We got to get on the ball with that. In places like Arizona, by the way, Republicans used to own that game.
Yeah.
And then Carrie Lake and team are like, nah, we don't do any of that. Only come on election day, and then you lose. That's what happens.
When everybody had to come in on election day, with the exception of absentee ballots, sure, I get it.
Right.
But when one side is voting for months ahead, and they'll take in a couple ballots, obviously, a few days or a week or two after, in some cases, depending on your state or jurisdiction, and the other side is still saying, show up on election day and hope the weather is good, hope your car doesn't break down, hope you're not sick. Any number of things can happen.
You could
have sciatica.
Yes.
You never know. And then, oh, I was going to vote, but I guess I'm not going to now. That's a bad thing.
Yes, it's a bad plan.
Bad.
Another bad plan. This clip from MSNBC.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've seen this one. This is Jen Psaki, former press secretary to Biden, much better than KJP, is here with Rachel Maddow, Nicole Wallace, a couple other people on a panel.
Joy Reid.
On primary night, Super Tuesday night. And this is their thought about Virginia voters and what Virginia voters' priorities are.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what?
I mean, first of all, a lot of Northern Virginians would build a wall with West Virginia. Okay. They're the exact kind of people who'd be like, we don't want y'all Hicks in here.
West Virginians want like a wall with Virginia. That's the other thing.
Well, yeah. Fair. So, look, all of the people on that set have a lot of money.
Oh.
All the people on that set have the luxury of protecting themselves and their kids, their families, whoever they care about, from possible danger by being in gated communities, having a lot of security, even actual security guards in some cases. To make fun of regular people who think that immigration causes some issues for their communities, for instance, in Northern Virginia, where MS-13 is quite a problem, or where your local public school might be overwhelmed in a way that it has not been before, and you're not understanding how we're going to deal with this problem, or ignoring that a Venezuelan illegal immigrant was picked up for sexual assault in the state of Virginia just recently.
Yeah. Of a 14-year-old girl.
To ignore all that is not good. You know, laugh at it.
Yeah, Georgia is also kind of far from the Texas border. But I wonder if, you know, Joy Reid and Nicole Wallace and Rachel Maddow, if they asked the family of Lake and Riley if they think immigration is a concern.
It can be an issue.
Yeah, it's no wonder people in general, polls consistently show, have such a low opinion of the media and the media elites. And, you know, Jen Psaki, she lives probably not far from me.
Yeah.
And yet she is clearly a world away.
I just...
For her to be stunned, she's genuinely stunned that immigration is a concern, is...
Well, and here's the thing. Problem. I think that it is worth having a conversation about how concerned should I be about immigration? Yeah. Rationally, how concerned should I be about a random attack from a violent criminal, right?
Right.
These are things that are worth discussing, and they're hard to discuss when something is an emotional news issue. That's not what they're doing. They're going emotional in the other direction, not bringing context to explain this issue, but just laughing at people who are concerned about it. I want to add to this. This is a lawmaker from Georgia, local, like a state lawmaker, who has a quote from Athens-Clarke County Commissioner Melissa Link, who was asked about Riley's murder. What, are you ready for this kind of, this gaslighting? I am as disgusted by the crime as I am by the hysterical glee with which so many have seized upon this tragedy to promote division, bigotry, and hate. This tragedy offers yet another reminder what monsters are real. The monsters are real, and they come in all shapes and sizes with terrifying regularity. They come in the form of white men with weapons of war, fueled by mental illness, bigotry, and right-wing conspiracy theories who slaughter classrooms full of school children, congregants in churches, temples and mosques, hapless shoppers and revelers at concerts, nightclubs, festivals, and parade routes. Mass murders have become so routine, they are only met with thoughts and prayers from the cowardly Republican legislators, governors, and judges who enable unfettered access to such weapons of war. Gun was not used in this crime, by the way. And every day, monsters come in the form of young men behind the wheel of big trucks and fast cars who ignore the rules of the road, endangering the public with impunity, often walking away from fatal crashes with barely a slap on the wrist. It goes on about patriarchy and many other buzzwords. Y'all are missing the point
Who is she talking about? What is she?
Oh, and she also adds a Supreme Court justice and smears a Supreme Court justice with the Christine Blasey Ford accusations.
Yeah. Because, you know, we have a rapist on the bench. It's been proven.
That is...
The former president's a Russian spy, an asset, and Brett Kavanaugh's a rapist. So,
it's wild.
In that world. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the real world, which weirdly includes San Francisco right about now.
Oh, right.
People are actually concerned about crime.
Yes.
Real, like, on the ground, real crime.
Talk about that pendulum.
The crime that they tell you isn't real, people are concerned about. So much that in, this is Free Beacon reporting, San Francisco residents on Tuesday voted to let police conduct more vehicle chases and deploy drones and surveillance cameras to fight crime. They also ordered mandatory drug screening for childless adults who received welfare and housing assistance, benefits that will now be yanked from those who refuse testing. My goodness.
Drones, like it's Minority Report or something.
Both yeah. measures
the spiders
passed,
are going to come after you.
Both measures passed by wide margins. The police initiative, which voters approved by nearly 20 points, would give law enforcement more leeway in when and why they can chase down subjects fleeing in vehicles. Officers are currently barred from chasing suspected thieves and can only go after those who they believe have committed a violent felony or pose immediate danger to the public. This is one of the problems with this stuff, by the way, is that you have to let people get away with so much before you can go after them that at that point someone is violently assaulted.
Yeah.
Someone is murdered.
Right, right.
And that's what's happening in San Francisco. The welfare measure, which passed by 26 points,
yeah,
would in San Francisco, would require poor and homeless adults under 65 and without dependent children to be tested for drug use. And if they don't pass their screening, they would have to enter treatment to receive San Francisco's cash payments and housing assistance.
That's... That sounds an awful lot like means testing for the welfare to work bill that everybody decried in the 1990s when
Clinton got
all these people off the welfare rolls and we said it was a good thing. But people to his left were decrying and saying how, you know, awful and heartless Bill Clinton was. People have had enough. And San Francisco, when I've been there in the late 90s and early aughts, great town. I haven't been there in a while, but I'd like to see it, you know. The same town from, I don't know, from the 60s, from Vertigo. I mean, already, so, I get it. San Francisco's had problems. I get it. Even by Dirty Harry's time, things were getting seedy. But the point is, they want the means testing for people. They're willing to have, again, a tougher law enforcement presence.
Yeah.
And this has always been the case where certainly people in the areas that are most affected actually would prefer to have more police protecting them. And then the people who are far away, oftentimes these white liberals living in gated communities with your security and whatever else, they get to make these, you know, pronouncements.
Yeah, that's what
because
there's
no cost to them. This is Rob Henderson's point in his book.
That's what they call the luxury beliefs.
Yeah.
Luxury beliefs. There are other places where they're abandoning their luxury beliefs. This is Politico reporting. Washington's progressive city council passed a crime package Tuesday that will keep more people in jail while awaiting trial. And New York's governor on Wednesday ordered hundreds of National Guard troops to deploy inside the city's troubled subway system because things have, they have new gates up because people were randomly throwing people on the tracks all the time. I mean,
yeah,
we've hit a point, guys. So the left is retreating a bit on criminal justice, particularly since this isn't really criminal justice reform. What happened in these cities? What happened in these cities was just like wanton disregard.
Right. It was madness.
For law enforcement, abandoning any officer who might put his life on the line and get in a bad spot. I mean, it's just like, I am somebody who's been pro-criminal justice reform. I am highly skeptical of the state in many, many situations, including with cops. But that pendulum went way too far.
Yeah.
It went way too far.
My big concern in New York is when you have the National Guard there, what about the New York Times staff writers?
I know. It seems unsafe for them, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Tom Cotton, he just merely suggested that they come in to quell the riots. And now it's happening for real.
Yeah. You know, it's strange because I pulled up the New York Times story about the National Guard and state police on the subways, and there is no editor's note on it. It just seems like...
You're about to get triggered, before you read this?
It just seems like everything went up.
Are there walkouts? Are people going to have a protest over this?
I haven't heard about them. Now, if you wanted to get real specific, I guess you could say that Tom Cotton's op-ed from 2020, entitled Tom Cotton, Send in the Troops, which was a call to let the military and the National Guard crack down on rioters and looters, not peaceful protesters. He specifically makes that distinction.
Right.
I guess you could make the argument that this perfectly legitimate op-ed and public policy position, I lost my chance because I had too much Long Island iced tea.
Mary Catherine, can I just say, the Long Island iced tea, it's not, because I'm feeling the same. I'm feeling the flutters And it's not the booze. It's the caffeine from real Coke, you know what, which we're not used to.
This is a serious issue, and I'm going to recover.
I know. I can help you.
Let me just say this. You could make an argument that his argument was that you would impose this measure on cities, and Hochul and the cities are doing this in concert as part of their more local control. But it's like a small distinction. No, that's not what they were mad
at. No, and beyond that, we're basically talking about stop and frisk, which was so condemned, you know, by the end of Bloomberg's, you know, second, you know, term, and by the time you got in his successor. What was his
You're
name?
Right. You're right. This is just stop and frisk.
Yeah, that's what it is. And so people are saying, people are
the National Guard.
Yeah, and people are saying, well, what if we don't want to be searched? And Kathy Hochul was asked this on.
Y'all have a point. Like, I would be annoyed.
Kathy Hochul was on Good Day New York. And was asked that very question about what happens if, you know, you're in the subway and some man in military fatigues comes over and asks you to. And Hochul says, well, then don't take the subway.
Jeez.
Wow.
Civil liberties. Who cares?
Suddenly.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Civil liberties don't matter as long as liberals decide that this is the correct policy just to keep people safe. Just like with COVID.
Yeah.
Right. I do wonder why on a subway platform do you need National Guard versus just police?
Maybe because it's not enough. I'm not sure, because they're already, you know, again, they're pushing for more funding and they're trying to recruit more police now. But there was a big defund move that went across this country after the George Floyd, after his death and the riots. It was like this progressive itch that needed to be scratched. Well, I hope
it didn't
they got it out of their
it
system.
It didn't go well.
No,
and that's the thing too. Is look, I want cities and states to be the laboratories of democracy, and I want them to try different things. I would prefer that it's not in the throes of emotional hysteria over one incident that then creates inadvisable pendulum swings like this on policy that make people unsafe. That's what happened here, right? Yeah. And then swinging the pendulum back has to become a larger swing, partly because what you had before was a form of deterrence, and we've lost that.
Yeah.
So the military presence in the subway is no doubt meant to send the message like, hey, we're very serious about this. We promise. I know we haven't been for a very long time.
Right.
And that maybe people learn, oh, there might actually be consequences for that. But you need a really strong showing to do that.
That's right.
Can we talk about some really stupid wokeness?
Oh, yeah.
This is like, you couldn't write it better than this.
No, it's a parody. You would think that, okay, come on.
I thought for sure when I clicked through, I was like, that can't be what happened.
Can't be.
Nope, but it's what happened.
What happened?
Woke officials at the Department of Veterans Affairs, this is New York Post reporting, banned the iconic photo of a World War II Times Square kiss from agency buildings last week, claiming it no longer fit the, quote, values of the VA. But the move apparently blindsided their furious boss, VA Secretary Dennis McDonough, who very publicly reversed the edict on X, Twitter, on Tuesday morning after seemingly learning of it through a tweet. Okay, again, someone should be fired. Someone should be fired.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone will be fired because no one ever is. Mm-hmm. The VA chief had not been made aware of the memo before it was issued and never approved it. Sources familiar with the matter added to the Associated Press. The photo, which captures an ecstatic U.S. sailor kissing a nurse passing by to celebrate the end of the war with Japan in 1945, was deemed inappropriate behavior by VA higher-ups because it, quote, depicts a non-consensual act.
Yep.
Displaying the snapshot in VA hospitals, quote, could be construed as a tacit endorsement of the inappropriate behavior it depicts, wrote Rima Ann Nelson, the agency's assistant undersecretary for health and operations, in a February 29th memo.
That's right, because, you know, for the last 75 years, people have been going to the VA and thinking, well, I guess it's time for me to start, you know, raping and pillaging up and down Times Square.
I guess they endorse this.
Great. That's what they thought.
Employees have
expressed about it is you know,
discomfort with the display of this photograph, and to foster a more trauma-informed environment, it should be removed, the missive said.
Here's the thing.
Lord help me.
Bad enough when they have to explain that it could be construed, as you said, a, quote, tacit endorsement of inappropriate behavior that it depicts. Because they look at these people who have now infiltrated our bureaucracy so thoroughly, it's going to be impossible to root them all out. They look at this picture and it bothers them. They're so offended by that photo. And can we have better pictures, they said, of peace and victory? And the other thing is this, at the end of that memo, What's her name? Leanne Rimes? What is it?
Rima Ann. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's worse, she says, is that if you got a problem, she says, talk to Lelia Jackson,
right.
Director of the Assault and Harassment and Prevention,
right.
Sturmabteilung, office, because, you know.
It's a real open door policy,
yeah.
Vic.
Yeah. If you have some concerns, you talk to her.
Doesn't that sound like they're welcoming
yeah.
criticism?
Yes, the Assault and Harassment Prevention Office.
McDonough tweeted, let me be clear, this image is not banned from VA facilities, and we will keep it in VA facilities. Ah, man. This is crazy. And by the way, they're not offended. This picture doesn't offend them. They're looking for things
well,
to be
I
offended
think
by so they can exert...
It's possible.
This stupid philosophy they have and then replace it with something that is fits their own,
that
mirrors
would,
their own
that
stuff.
Would no, that no doubt we would find offensive. I'm not gonna start imagining what it would be, but you and I would be like, that's offensive. Here's the thing. We have to, we're very lucky. I thought I'd never say this, but we're very lucky to have Dennis McDonough at the top of the VA because he's still normal,
yeah.
right?
This shows it.
And he's like, that's crazy. But one day, Mary Catherine, if we don't do anything about this, it's not going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. And somebody else is going to be there saying, yeah, we must absolutely do it and stick to our guns.
That's the thing is these yeah. people get so much traction,
yeah.
right? Like if I went to my local library mm-hmm. and I was like, I don't like this graphic novel you have that my daughter came home with and it mm-hmm. has this inappropriate da-da-da in it. You should put it in a different section. Mm-hmm. Because that criticism is coming... It's actually coming from Normietown, but because it's coming from the quote-unquote right,
yeah.
they'd be like, how dare you? We're yeah. going to put it out front. We're yes. going to put it in the banned book section.
Right.
And like...
The banned book section.
Right, right. So I wouldn't get any traction.
Yeah. What if Tom Sawyer...
Still might be worth sending that email,
but... Or Huck Finn is at the banned book section.
Yeah. So like, still might be worth sending the email, but like, I'm not going to get movement.
Yeah.
Without a movement.
Right.
This chick has like... One made-up employee be like, this makes me uncomfortable. And suddenly the whole VA has to take it out.
Well, not only that, but she has an awfully a very terrible track record, doesn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah. Well, it turns out that people who make a lot of noise about the tiniest stupid things maybe are not good at the big things.
Uh-huh.
The official who ordered the hospitals to take down this picture previously mismanaged a Missouri hospital so badly she was condemned by Democrats and Republicans alike. This is the New York Post reporting as well. Smooch bashing VA bigwig Rima Ann Nelson. She should be a country singer.
That I'm telling you.
Headed the department's St. Louis hospital for more than 3 years, during which time the facility was rated the worst in the country, with patients allegedly left in their feces for days, and more than 1,800 of our nation's heroes being exposed to HIV and hepatitis
Lovely.
From unsterilized dental equipment,
yeah.
reports said. So I'm glad that she has failed up.
That's what
so
happens.
That she can do this.
They couldn't fire her.
I mean.
And you know what? Maybe in the second Biden administration, the second Biden term of the next Secretary of the VA is going to be Leanne Rimes.
Oh. So. You know what? Look, I think that's unfair to Leanne Rimes.
It's true. It's
who
true.
Has had a dicey sort of gossipy
really?
Career.
She has?
But
you know more about
it. Voice of an angel. Voice of an angel.
Okay. What do we have? Is that everything?
That's everything. And I gotta go for a radio interview.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this then. First of all, thank you for the wonderful Jennifer and Mary Catherine. Thank you for the wonderful idea of having chizza and cocktails. Chizza and cocktails. That's every Friday on Getting Hammered, chizza and cocktails. And I want to say this, as a serious drinker as myself, I'm a big believer in consistency. So that when you, if I start with a martini, I'm drinking gin all day. If I start with an old-fashioned Manhattan, brown spirits all day. The great thing about Long Island, you can drink anything from here.
Yeah.
I don't think I have
and
tequila,
here
vodka, whatever.
We go.
And that wraps up this episode of Getting Hammered, sometimes literally. Remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube, and you can follow me on Twitter at Victorina Mattis.
I'm at MK Hammer. You can find me at MK Hammer Time on Instagram. Follow the show at Getting Hammered Podcast, and I got to go do a tipsy radio interview now. Thanks for Getting Hammered Responsibility. Nebulous Media Podcast.